I love being able to talk about brands that I use on my podcast, and I've personally been using this one for over 5 years. Our sponsor, Nature's Way Alive, women's multivitamin gummies are specifically formulated for women. They contain 16 vitamins and minerals, including the full B vitamin complex to help convert food into fuel, and have the added benefit of supporting healthy hair, skin, and nails. With just 2 delicious gummies, Nature's Way Alive women's multivitamin gummies are an easy way to feel like your best self every day. To learn more, visit naturesway.com/Gemma10 and use code Gemma10 at checkout for 10% off any Alive women's multivitamins. Terms and conditions apply, valid through June 30th. As someone who works for themselves, I am always looking for ways to make my life a little bit easier. One of those things is Canva's AI-powered Canva presentations. When I need to make a deck super quick for a meeting or a pitch, I just start with a prompt, describe my presentations in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds. It is the perfect way to get a head start on my slides. It's incredibly easy to learn and use, and they also look incredible. I can then customize based on my favorite style and content, and there we go. Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Shaving is honestly such a hassle, but sometimes it just has to be done. Actually, what if I told you about an alternative, one that was quick, easy, and left you smelling surprisingly good? Nair's new line of sensational hair removal, shower and body creams gets the job done and smells delicious. My friends were all over for dinner the other day, and I had this bottle of their oat milk and vanilla body cream. Of course, we had to try it out, and we all agreed. The results were pretty spectacular after only 3 minutes of application, and it actually smelled delicious, like vanilla goodness. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams, available at retailers nationwide and online. Ugh, our 20s. The drunk dialing, the forgetting to wash our face at night, and yes, neglecting our teeth. Don't do that last one. You only get one set of teeth, so you need to protect them. Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface and locks in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. Pronamel also makes a new mouthwash, which helps to repair acid-weakened enamel beyond brushing alone. Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy your toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com today. Hello and welcome back to The Psychology of Your 20s, the podcast where we talk through some of the big life changes and transitions of our 20s and what they mean for our psychology. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to another episode. New listeners, old listeners, it's so great to have you here, to have you back for another topic, one that I am really, really excited for. So today we are going to be discussing comparison and the dangers of comparing ourselves to others, especially in our 20s. I'm sure for many of you who are listening right now, comparison is something that you may have dealt with quite a bit. I am definitely the same. But today we really want to dispel some of the negativity around it and talk about how it's actually a pretty normal human behavior, and there is a lot of psychology and science that explains why it occurs. I think personally, comparison can be such an insidious and common cause of insecurity in our 20s, and it can also undermine our self-esteem, our ability to focus on ourselves, our self-worth, our mental health in this decade. But it's also important to note it can be an incredibly powerful source of motivation and inspiration to improve ourselves, if we use it for the right reasons, of course. I think many times that is not always the case. Comparison actually brings with it a lot of negative impacts, and it can be really, really difficult to break free from it, to stop comparing ourselves to others, often because it has nothing to do with them. It's us projecting and reflecting our own insecurities onto the image of someone else. I think this is especially common during this decade of our lives when there is so much opportunity to compare ourselves to others, so much diversity and difference in our journeys and those of our peers and those around us. Our 20s are a really confusing decade for social comparison, because I'm sure looking at your own lives, you know, you probably have friends who are at very different stages. Some of us are traveling, others of us are having children and settling down. You know, maybe you're still finishing your studies whilst your friends are receiving promotions and buying houses. People are at so many different stages in their journey, and that's always on the micro or the local scale. We have, you know, we cannot talk about comparison. We can't have a discussion about social comparison without talking about social media and the abundance of potential it gives us to be constantly comparing ourselves to an idealized and artificial version of random people on the internet, people we've never met, celebrities at any time of the day, at the mere opening of an app. I really wanted to do this episode today because comparison and constantly comparing myself to others has been a massive problem for me recently. I have not been able to break away from it, but I have been doing some things that I think might be helpful. I'll be honest, it has definitely been exacerbated recently by the growth of this show. It's, you know, an absolutely beautiful and wonderful gift, like truly a blessing that this audience and this community of listeners has grown so much in the past few months. But on the flip side, I have also found myself constantly comparing myself to other people in the field, to other creators, whether I'm doing this right, whether I fit the mold, who's doing it differently, who's doing it better. I've definitely spent quite a few sleepless nights thinking about these things and comparing myself to other people, other podcasters, feeling like a failure, like I'm doing something wrong, and undergoing all of these tiny micro comparisons between me and others. And then also doing that in my daily life, when I walk down the street, when I interact with friends, when I go on social media, constantly thinking to myself, am I as smart as they are? Why don't I look like that person? Why haven't I achieved as much as them? Why do they have everything together and I don't? So here's the thing. Something that I've realized is that no one's judgments are as strong and powerful and impactful as our own. Our 20s present this incredible opportunity, this incredibly formative time, to intentionally break away from constant comparison and allow ourselves to experience the freedom of caring about fewer people's opinions and reflections. So today, let's break down the psychology and the science behind social comparison. We're going to discuss the foundations of social comparison, why it is that we compare ourselves to others, even on an unconscious level, the mechanisms behind which it influences our behavior, as well as some of the consequences of unchecked comparison. But of course, this show is never going to be a pity party. We're all about empowering ourselves to break out of negative patterns and behaviors and to understand the psychology behind these behaviors. So I also want to talk about how it is that we can overcome social comparison and be free of our own judgments and our own comparisons with others. So buckle in. Let's get into it. So I think a really great place to start is to kind of provide an overview of what social comparison actually is. So social comparison, it's a psychological concept, and it's the act of comparing our abilities, our traits, our characteristics to others. We often come to judge ourselves and interpret our own self-worth by evaluating our behaviors in comparison to others to confirm whether we're doing the right thing, whether we are doing a good job. Here's the thing, we constantly evaluate ourselves across so many different domains like attractiveness, wealth, success, intelligence, the things that we have a tendency to actually define our worth by, especially in our 20s when our identities can be quite shaky and we navigate really massive life transitions and a shift into adulthood. I found this really interesting study while I was looking into this concept and looking into this episode, and it stated that as much as 10% of our thoughts, our everyday thoughts, involve a comparison of some kind, which is honestly kind of horrific to think about, right? Like 10% of our everyday thoughts involve some form of social comparison. No wonder we as a society are kind of defined in many ways by our insecurities at the moment. I also think the statistic is actually quite invaluable in some ways in demonstrating that these thoughts, that social comparison, might actually be valuable in some way or another for it to be occurring at such a high frequency. Here's the thing about comparison, though. It's not a limited activity. It can honestly occur across any domain of our lives that we deem as important, from what we look like, our bodies, our achievements, our grades, our performance at work, to things like how many friends we have, the clothes we wear, our ambitions. That is, I think, the most dangerous aspect of comparison. It's not an isolated social phenomena. It's really wide-reaching and can impact us in any area of life in which we might be insecure. Often it actually is the very things that we are most insecure about that we are more likely to compare ourselves to others based on. That's because these attributes, these characteristics are at the top of our mind. They are the things that consume us and that we want validation on. So for example, if you're really insecure about your career progression, I know that's a really common one, you know, whether you're getting the right internships, whether you're pursuing the right opportunities, whether you're going to be successful, often that is the first thing we're going to compare ourselves against when we meet a new person, you know, asking ourselves these almost implicit questions of, what is this person doing that I'm not? Where do we stand in relation to each other? Valuing their successes compared to our own. This actually just makes the insecurity worse, right? And it can cause it to become much larger and much more harmful. The more we feed the beast of social comparison, the more we feed our insecurities by comparing ourselves to others, the bigger it gets, the more fuel it needs to be satisfied, and the more of our time and our energy and our self-esteem that it takes over. It can also lead to a level of unhealthy competition between ourselves and others that can actually sabotage potentially really positive and collaborative relationships. When social comparison occurs, often our worth becomes centered and determined on how we perceive others and how we perceive ourselves, and the outcome of that unconscious comparison between us. We no longer tend to view the people we meet, our peers, our friends, as important contributors to our lives, but we see them as a way to judge ourselves, and more often than not, to put ourselves down. So there are actually two types of social comparison, and each of them serve their own like independent function, I would say. So the two types are upward and downward social comparison. Most of the instances of comparison we think about and when we compare ourselves to others and the ones that we've discussed so far have somewhat of a negative outcome, right? Like if we think about an example based on our material worth, we might meet someone who is a lot wealthier than us, who wears really nice clothes and has nice things and more possessions. And we're going to look at that person and see ourselves as less worthwhile. And it's probably not going to make you feel particularly great about yourself, because this instance of social comparison has caused us to establish almost like a temporary hierarchy with this other person on the top and us on the bottom. And this essentially leads us to the belief that we are less accomplished, we are less successful. And in these instances, we end up feeling a sense of inadequacy. We end up feeling a sense of really deep-rooted dissatisfaction. This is an instance of upward social comparison. So we compare ourselves to someone doing better than us in an area of life. So yes, I think this can create some really negative feelings and reactions that we've discussed. You know, it makes you feel inadequate. Makes you feel shame, it makes you feel unfulfilled. But an important caveat is that upward social comparison can also motivate us towards self-improvement. It's not always a negative thing as we might see it as. When we meet people who we see as better than us, as more accomplished, These people can actually serve as examples from which we model our behavior and inspire towards. It's why, you know, having positive and successful role models can be so important in our lives, because we inherently compare ourselves to them, and then we perhaps attempt to emulate their behaviors. This may give us the motivation to address areas of our lives where we are naturally unsatisfied, not because of social comparison, because we innately know that we can do better for ourselves, that these people can provide us with a belief that we can be a better version of ourselves. There is evidence that it can be done. In that way, I think social comparison can be really highly beneficial, especially when we use our social networks to push ourselves. There was this study that was done, and it found that a level of friendly competition and friendly upward social comparison was actually really effective in pushing people to exercise more often and pushing people to achieve more. Because when we see someone else doing really well, it pushes us to keep up and to do more. It's known as the social racket effect. Each person's activity generates more activity amongst others. So social networks in which people, you know, are offered opportunities to inspire each other and given a healthy amount of competition can actually be quite helpful. The very existence and the act of upward comparison is this confirmation that we can achieve our dreams and our desires. This links to the second type of social comparison. So the second type is downward comparison. In this instance, you compare yourself to someone who is worse off than you. In this case, this form of social comparison can contribute to almost a spike in our self-esteem, which can initially make us feel better about ourselves, right? Like if we meet someone and we look at them and we're like, oh, I'm probably better than that person. Of course, you're going to feel great, right? But this can also contribute to a level of arrogance and a level of overconfidence, as well as probably making us a little bit unbearable. It's also worth asking yourself, do you really want to be the person who only feels good about themselves and secure about themselves if they're surrounded by people they perceive as being not as good as them, as being worse off or not as successful or talented? Do you really want to derive your self-confidence from inherently and unconsciously bringing others down so that you can feel better? So although we have discussed how social comparison can at times be a tool for self-growth and can also impact our self-esteem, especially in downward social comparison when we're comparing ourselves to someone who we see is less successful or worse off than us, another element of this act of constantly comparing our lives to others, whether we know that person or not, is that social comparison and the measures by which we compare ourselves to others are often really unrealistic. We're not very good at being unbiased judges of things and seeing things objectively. Every instance of comparison, every time you look at someone and you think, oh, I'm not as good as them, or you look at someone and think, oh, I'm better than them, each of these judgments is in some way influenced by our own beliefs and our beliefs about the world. We are, in each of our own ways, a pretty biased judge. So, for example, say you're engaging in downward social comparison with a friend. You've compared yourself to them almost unconsciously and believe in some way that perhaps you're more intelligent, that you're smarter than them. That judgment is entirely based on your view of the situation, and it's probably not very accurate. We don't really have any real way of knowing that for certain. We don't know the contents of this person's mind. We don't know how they solve problems, the way they think, the books they read, the discussions they have. We're basing that judgment off of our own limited knowledge of a situation, and most of the time, we tend to get it wrong. This also works in the opposite direction, right? When we're comparing ourselves to others and feel like we're lesser or not as accomplished or not as good, we actually don't know that. Yes, there are obviously external indicators of success, but most of the time, when we are comparing ourselves to others, that is just a reflection of what we're insecure about. It's a projection of our own fear, our own fears and insecurities. It's important to remind ourselves social comparison is not the truth. It is not completely factual. It's based on our own perception of others and our own perception of ourselves. So why does this happen? What is it about social comparison that makes the habit so hard to break? Well, that's our crucial question for the day, right? Why does this happen? Why do we find ourselves in this constant cycle of social comparison, for better or for worse? Well, social psychology can actually explain quite a bit of this. Social comparison, as toxic and dangerous as it can be when it's out of control, it's actually a fairly normal behavioral strategy that we use to better understand our social standing, our status, and to mediate and control our behaviors to be appropriate. So when we compare ourselves to others to understand our behavior, we also get a sense of gauging how we're doing in life and whether we are fitting in. And this has an evolutionary function. We want to remain part of the in-group. We want to remain part of the pack, part of the tribe. And a way that we do this is compare ourselves to other members of a similar group and judge our behavior to see if we're fitting in, how we're doing, if we're meeting the social norms and the social mold. Although it may feel like it, social comparison, it's not done at random. Think about when you're on the train or at the airport. You're not comparing yourself to, you know, the 6-year-old man with a wife and children. Often you're comparing yourself to people of your own age, people of a similar type and characteristic to you in some way. That's because we tend to compare ourselves to people that have similar attributes that are close to our own. The more similarities we have with people, the worse our level of social comparison is likely to be. And ultimately, the more useful our minds might find that. I'm just going to break that down a little bit more. So there's no point comparing yourself to someone who's, you know, 30, 40 years older than you, because the way that they act might not be the way that you should act. The way that they are, what they're doing might not be what you should be doing. So instead, our brains get us to compare ourselves to people who are more similar to us, because our brains, from an evolutionary perspective, find that information more valuable. I think it's important, though, to bring us back to reality here and reiterate what we were speaking about before, which is that our judgments, no matter how inherent they are, no matter how biologically or evolutionarily natural they may feel, they're actually incredibly flawed and they're not based on the whole truth. When we're unable to recognize this, when we're unable to realize that we are quite biased and we use social comparison as a means to bring ourselves down, we can fall into that cycle, that spiral of never feeling good enough, never feeling like we fit in or that we have value compared to other people in our lives. This is when the less helpful aspects of social comparison, the ones we often recognize, that's when they rear their head. The impact of social comparison, it's obviously going to vary based on what insecurity it's playing into. But mainly what we end up seeing is a sense of shame, a lower self-esteem, fewer positive statements about ourselves, negative language towards ourselves, and a sense that we need to conform or change something about ourselves, often in a drastic way. It's really exhausting. I will say it's really exhausting spending our waking hours comparing ourselves to others and performing this mental calculation about where we stand, about who's doing things better than us. Yeah, it's really tiring and it can be really hard to break out of. I mentioned this at the beginning, but I do believe, and a lot of the research confirms as well, that this is often made worse by the prominence of social media. Social comparison, it becomes unavoidable in this environment, and even more severe and unrealistic, because when we post on social media, we're performing for an audience. We're putting forward an idealized and fake version of our lives. I feel like I don't need to say that social media is not real life, right? Like, most of us know that. But it can be really hard to remember that consciously, especially when we are constantly exposed to this almost like torrential flooding of information about and beautiful bodies and perfect lives. It's really hard to remind ourselves that that's not real,
No one sees the tears behind what is maybe a perfect relationship, or the insecurity behind someone's dream body or someone's successful future. No one sees the hard work. No one sees the sacrifice. No one sees the hard, hard days. All we are seeing is the highlight reel. But our brains, they're not very good at being realistic about that and acknowledging it. Recent studies have shown that social media really encourages unhelpful social comparison, particularly upward social comparison, and it can reduce our overall self-esteem. But being educated about how this process occurs, why it is that we compare and contrast ourselves to others, and consciously noting when we find ourselves slipping into unhelpful comparisons can be incredibly useful and incredibly powerful. So let's discuss how we can kind of break away from social comparison and use it for good, leverage this behavior and this mental activity to inspire us rather than bring us down. So these next few kind of like lessons, I guess, or activities, they're things that I've personally done recently, especially as I've been struggling quite a bit with social comparison. These are just things that have helped me, that the evidence suggests might help you as well, especially as someone in my 20s who's witnessing so many people at various stages in their lives. It's important to remind myself really gently that the story isn't over. This is not my final destination. This is not your final destination either. When I compare myself to others, what I'm really doing is comparing a point in my journey with a completely different point in someone else's journey. And often, my assessment of that situation isn't entirely accurate. I have no way of knowing what's going on behind the scenes, the stress, the insecurities that someone may be dealing with. All I can do is kind of focus on myself. It might even be that this person's looking at me or at you and thinking that you've got it all together. The only thing we can really focus on is how we feel and how we behave and whether we're happy and satisfied. That is the only thing within our control, not their actions, not someone else's successes, not someone else's traits or attitudes. I think you're allowed to be selfish when it comes to this and say, you know, I come first. Like, I'm allowed to feel good about myself. I'm allowed to feel valuable. And I think it's also important to acknowledge that statement from before. Often the things we compare ourselves based on are really a projection of our own unhealed insecurities. So taking time to really decipher why it is that you feel the need to compare yourself on these attributes rather than seeing the whole picture is going to be really valuable. Allowing yourself to see yourself as a valuable person, that you have strengths. Our 20s are an important time to develop self-awareness, and we can leverage this like insane cognitive growth that we're going to participate in some of the hard work and on some of our deeply rooted insecurities. Also, sometimes you just need to call yourself out, particularly when you're engaging in downward social comparison and diminishing your own self-worth. Focus on your strengths. Write them down. Use comparison as a source of inspiration. Instead of seeing people as competition, think about what they can teach you, what it is about their life that you find inspiring, that you find desirable. I think if you find a particular person or a particular profile as well across social media can be a trigger for you or a source of negative social comparison, there's a really easy way to get rid of that constant kind of sense of contrasting and judging your actions. And that's just to cull. Time to get rid of them. Life is too short, and we certainly don't need any more reasons to bring ourselves down. Make a conscious decision to create an environment, whether it is online or in person, that makes you feel valid and makes you feel worthwhile. If there's someone on social media who is like gorgeous and you're constantly looking at, you know, bikini photos of, or photos of their life or photos of all their travels and feeling bad about yourself, like, you actually have a choice to not expose yourself to that. And if that's going to help you, you should do it. You really should. Like, there's no reason to feel ashamed. Like, if it's something that upsets you, I think it's well within your rights to kind of limit your exposure to it. The other thing I've done recently was I stopped focusing on my own personal attributes so much, and I focused on the other amazing things in my life. I focused on practicing gratitude. I know it sounds a bit wishy-washy, but my really good friend Zoe, she actually suggested this to me about a year ago, this like amazing tip when I was going through a really rough time. And the amount of different elements of my life that it's helped me with, it's actually ridiculous. I tell everyone to do this. Every day, before you go to bed, we all have 2 minutes, just 2 minutes, to list 5 things you're grateful for. I know I've mentioned this in so many episodes, but I'm going to keep saying it because it's such a game changer. No matter how harsh you've been on yourself that day, you can always find just 5 things that bring you joy. And it allows you to stop being so internally focused and concentrate on what you have rather than what you're lacking. Commit yourself to this practice, like really just give it a go. You have nothing to lose. I promise you, it's such a game changer. And these are just some of the things that have really worked for me. And if you want to give them a try, I would really recommend it. Please also contribute your own, share your own thoughts on this. I think it's so valuable to acknowledge how common it is in our 20s to compare ourselves to others, to think we're not doing enough, to think we're not good enough. But we can always refocus this comparison and use it as a strength. Use it for motivation, to embrace the competition, to inspire us. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. A bit shorter than usual, I know, but I thought we'd keep it short and sweet. It was so interesting to research this. Like, I'm being quite honest, this has been really something on my mind recently. It's really kind of been something I've been struggling with. So I found it really valuable to understand why it is that it happens and to kind of stop beating myself up about it, because it is unconscious. It is really, really normal. I hope that's something you brought away from this episode. And if you are dealing with social comparison, if you're finding yourself comparing yourself to others, you're not alone, I promise. You're in a boat with many other people. If you know the studies are right, probably everyone is doing this every moment of their lives. So you are a valuable person, you are a worthwhile person, and you are doing great things. So thank you for listening as well, I guess, if you've made it this far. And if you enjoyed this episode, if you found it valuable, please feel free to leave it a 5-star review if you feel called to do so on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you are listening. Make sure to follow if you'd like to, and give us a follow on Instagram as well at That Psychology Podcast. I often put up like some little polls every now and again for the audience to decide what to listen to. So if that's something you'd like to contribute to, you have the option. And thank you again for listening. We will be back next week with a new episode. Ugh, our 20s. The drunk dialing, the forgetting to wash our face at night, and yes, neglecting our teeth. Don't do that last one. You only get one set of teeth, so you need to protect them. Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface and locks in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. Pronamel also makes a new mouthwash, which helps to repair acid-weakened enamel beyond brushing alone. Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy your toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com today. As someone who works for themselves, I am always looking for ways to make my life a little bit easier. One of those things is Canva's AI-powered Canva presentations. When I need to make a deck super quick for a meeting or a pitch, I just start with a prompt, describe my presentations in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds. It is the perfect way to get a head start on my slides. It's incredibly easy to learn and use, and they also look incredible. I can then customize based on my favorite style and content, and there we go. Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
I love being able to talk about brands that I use on my podcast, and I've personally been using this one for over 5 years. Our sponsor, Nature's Way Alive, women's multivitamin gummies are specifically formulated for women. They contain 16 vitamins and minerals, including the full B vitamin complex to help convert food into fuel, and have the added benefit of supporting healthy hair, skin, and nails. With just 2 delicious gummies, Nature's Way Alive women's multivitamin gummies are an easy way to feel like your best self every day. To learn more, visit naturesway.com/Gemma10 and use code Gemma10 at checkout for 10% off any Alive Women's multivitamins. Terms and conditions apply, valid through June 30th.